The lurid 1992 thriller Basic Instinct starred Michael Douglas as a San Francisco homicide detective and Sharon Stone as a wealthy novelist who might also enjoy killing men with an ice pick. The scene in which Stone's character is interrogated by pasty middle-aged male detectives and reveals that she's not wearing underpants was an instant and enduring sensation. It took 14 years and several directors, but Sharon Stone is back, without Michael Douglas, in Basic Instinct 2. Film critic David Edelstein has a review.
So, is she as, you know, revealing this time? That's what everyone asks when they hear I've seen Basic Instinct 2. And I have to deliver the bad news. No. You get a glimpse of the forest, but not the trees. You do see quite a bit of Sharon Stone's body. And let's face it, the peep show aspect was the hook of the original. The only suspense in the sequel comes from whether Stone at 48 can compete with one of the most formidable bad girls in cinema history, Stone at 34. Basic Instinct 2 is so stupefying that there's nothing else to think about except the way of all flesh. I still remember the first full glimpse of Stone's Catherine Tramell in Basic Instinct. She's sitting on a terrace overlooking the wild Pacific breakers. She hears her name uttered by the detective played by Michael Douglas and gives a tiny laugh, as if amused even to inhabit the same sphere as this hapless mortal. She knows she can control his eyes, his emotions, even his chemistry. It's no wonder that on a DVD commentary track, Camille Paglia breathlessly proclaims Catherine a pagan goddess from the cult of antiquity. As written with entertaining shamelessness by Joe Esterhaus and directed in a gorgeously overripe style by Paul Verhoeven, Basic Instinct is peerless swank noir. Basic Instinct 2 is not about a 48-year-old Catherine Tramell. That might have been fascinating. It's set only a few years after the original, and this time, instead of a sunny, foggy San Francisco, the setting is a chill, blue-gray London. Why, I don't know. It's not very erotic. Another mistake was hiring Michael Caton Jones to direct. He couldn't even make the Profumo sex scandal of the movie Scandal sexy. The opening is at least wild. Catherine slays her latest lover, a British football star, by driving his car off a bridge while simultaneously pleasuring herself. It's camp at 110 miles per hour, but gets points for outrageousness. Unfortunately, the screenwriters, Leora Barish and Henry Bean, don't seem to know they need to top that, and the movie settles into a dreary talk fest. Catherine's prey in this film is a starchy British shrink played by David Morrissey. The court appoints him to examine Catherine, who's on trial for poisoning the beloved athlete.
I shall be present during the evaluation.
Well, that's fine by me. I will be asking Mr. Tramell some fairly personal questions, but she doesn't mind you being present.
My client understands, and she agrees I should be present for...
Maybe Dr. Glass is right, and we should be alone for this.
Catherine, I strongly advise you not to contemplate...
So, is this where we're going to do it?
So she does it. And it doesn't take the shrink long to get her number. He sums her up at the inquest on the stand.
Well, I would say extremely intelligent, gifted, accomplished. Yet inside, I believe, she vacillates between a feeling of godlike omnipotence and a sense that she simply doesn't exist.
If released, is she likely to commit a violent crime?
I believe Miss Tramell's behavior is driven by what we might call a risk addiction. A compulsive need to prove to herself that she can take risks and survive dangers that other people can't.
Why would a person do that?
Well, the greater the risk, the greater the proof of her omnipotence. Her existence, really.
Yeah. As if all that Freudian stuff is going to save him from her clutches. Basic Instinct 2 is like a joke on Freud played too slowly, at half speed. But even if it had whizzed along, it would have been superfluous, since Esterhaus's original hurtled past Freud and into mythic Camille Paglianism in the first 15 minutes. And Stone's Catherine needs a more cartoon macho antagonist, like Michael Douglas. Morrissey was terrific as a scandalized politician in the marvelous miniseries State of Play, but in the first half of this film, he's too stolid. And by the time he gets sexually obsessed and starts flashing his choppers like Clive Owen, the audience has moved way beyond him. The basic instincts to which he succumbs include stupidity. I don't remember Stone mugging in the first film, or dropping her G's and slinging her lines like the spawn of Mae West and Clint Eastwood. It's painful. My guess is that the only person who'll enjoy this travesty is the exiled original screenwriter Joe Esterhaus, who'll no doubt be savoring the spectacle of his pagan goddess thudding to earth.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine.